My name's Mary Ellen Erlinson, and I'm Director of Therapeutic Recreation at Fairview Hospital in Minneapolis. And I guess that's part of the reason that I'm doing this session is because of my own concerns about the importance of leisure in our everyday lifestyles. And I guess I'm most used to dealing with leisure in terms of using it as part of a treatment tool in a hospital setting and seeing some of the real benefits there, and often dealing with people who maybe haven't been able to know how to use their leisure as well as they might, and seeing some of the problems that can create in terms of mental health and that sort of thing. So I guess I come with a real commitment to the importance of leisure in each of our lives, and want to try to touch on and talk about some of those things during the session, and hopefully we'll get a chance to do some discussion and not just be all my talking, because I think we learn more by exploring some of our own attitudes and our own feelings about things. I would guess that doing a session at Holden on leisure, I think, is different than maybe doing it some other places and in dealing with clients, because just the fact that people come to Holden says, at least to me, a little bit about your desire for some leisure time in a very nice kind of setting where you can come to be recreative out here. And so, you know, I would guess that some people see at least that importance of vacation time and getting away from some of the other stresses in the outside life. But I think even if we are aware of leisure, I think sometimes we can look at how we can maximize the quality of our own leisure time, and just recognizing the importance to us and the importance as we relate to each other in using that leisure time. And at first I'd like just to ask, you know, when I say the word leisure, what kinds of things come to mind? Any of you, definition-wise, or an image that you think of when you hear the term leisure? Does anybody have any?
Choice.
Choice?
Time to do with as you please.
Any other thoughts on what leisure come to? That come to mind?
Vacation. Just relaxing.
Sure. I think all of those are things that, you know, can relate to leisure. In terms of looking at leisure philosophically, you can get into whether leisure is free time or a state of mind, and I guess that we're not going to get into really tackling that issue here, because I don't know that that's the purpose of what I want to talk about. But I think leisure can be seen both as just essentially a state of relaxation and a state of mind, or as well as looking at the free time where you have that element of choice in what you want to do. What about the word play? Does that bring to mind anything different than the word leisure for anybody? Any images that you think of when you hear the word play?
Seems more like an activity.
Yeah, it's not.
Think
doesn't
it an
have
activity?
To be productive activity. In the sense of when you're done, it's not work. Say some people think of leisure time as constructing something. Or something.
Mm-hmm.
And for play means doing something that's not necessarily productive.
Mm-hmm. Right. You don't have to come out with an end product.
Yeah. I view as productive in a sense of my state of mind, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts on play? I really think a lot of freedom, of fun, and also of spontaneity, which I think is kind of a playful spirit, I think, a sense of humor, and particularly just being able to spontaneously choose to do something. And we're going to get into some other thoughts on play as it relates to adults, and some of those things. I think often too we think of play, that's for children, you know, that's something children do, and we maybe choose to term what we do as play something else. But I think play is as important for us as adults throughout our lives as it is for children. And unfortunately, there have been some things that have culturally come into play that maybe negate our view of that. What about the term recreation? Does that bring any other thoughts to mind different than leisure or play? When you hear recreation, I know sometimes that'll bring certain images to mind.
Sports.
Common one that I hear, sports.
Relaxed activity.
Relaxed activity. Any other things that...
That does seem to have to do with doing something, doesn't it? Recreation seems to...
That might be an image that comes to mind.
To me, mm-hmm. that's over against play, which may be most anything.
Mm-hmm.
More organized, maybe.
You think it would be more organized?
Yeah,
maybe?
Me too.
Okay. Yeah, actually, these terms in many ways can be somewhat interchangeable. There might be times during the next hour that I might use them a little bit interchangeably, but one of the things I'd like to just point out in terms of, I guess, my own image of the word recreation and some thoughts that go along with that are, if you break that up, the term recreation, that what recreation is an opportunity to recreate, you know, and I guess I certainly think about some of the images of recreation being an activity and some of the things we do, but I also think of it as a kind of a state of mind of something that happens to us in the experiences that we're choosing, that we have an opportunity to recreate ourselves in various kinds of ways. And we'll go into that in a little bit more detail. What are some things that, you know, I think there's a lot of messages that we've received over, you know, our lives through parents, through culture, you know, maybe even through religious upbringings about play and recreation and that sort of thing. Can any of you think of things that come to mind when you think about messages your parents either verbally or non-verbally gave to you about play and recreation?
When I was a kid, there were no movies, no card playing on Sunday.
Mm. So you couldn't play on Sunday. Okay.
Something you do after the work was done.
Mm-hmm. Real common. Well, you can't go out inside and play till you've cleaned your room. And that it's often seen to be as a reward or as something that's a afterthought. You can do it when you've done these other things, you know, and not necessarily seen as something that's as basically needed as some of those other things. Any other kinds of messages that you hear through the culture that you're living in or that we're all living in?
I think it was something that my parents and I never did enough of.
Mm-hmm.
That may be true of my generation or not, I don't know, but being the war baby years, I don't think there was a lot of recreation or leisure or play in families.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of work
mm-hmm.
just to survive, and that came last, and that's mm-hmm. what kids did, and that was it with family-wise, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I also see a lot of our culture saying, you know, we have that kind of Protestant work ethic that's kind of driven, has been driven into a lot of us in our culture that, you know, that work is kind of the ultimate and that, you know, it's always working. These other things are secondary and also the kind of consumption lifestyles that we have often lead us into that too, you know, that if you're going to buy all these things that somehow seem to be, you know, expected in our society, you know, to have all these things, you end up having to work for money, so, you know, there's some people that work two jobs to keep them in all these leisure toys, you know, I think of folks that have, you know, lots of the adult toys like boats and snowmobiles, et cetera, you know, whatever it is, and, you know, how much we maybe end up working to use those things, do we have the time to actually use the things that we want to be using in our free time?
I think of it a little differently because
okay.
I came through the Depression years.
Uh-huh.
We didn't have any money for toys.
Mm-hmm.
And our play was all imaginary. I
mm-hmm.
mean, we played store. We used to take the box elder things that came off of a box elder tree and used it for money. And we would pretend we were giving a play and do things like that. We didn't have any kind of toys that were purchased with money because
mm-hmm.
there was so little money in
mm-hmm.
those days.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, it was, maybe the children don't have the opportunity to imagine because they have so many toys. We didn't have toys, hardly at all. Dolls.
So you really had a chance to learn play in the real
that
sense
was
of play,
play
where you really
mm-hmm.
take something and kind of creatively use some other items and other things, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we get nearly enough of that. You know, I think kids are so used to
TV
all the things
and
being entertained.
Yeah.
You know, and when they're thrown into an environment where they have to come up with something, you know, to play it, it's a little more challenging, you know, I think.
You know, of course, in recent years, we have a whole industry that's developed to help us and push us to play.
I'd like you to think just for, the other point along with that is that I think sometimes we've gotten the message that, and it's, part of it might be some of the religious upbringings that, you know, we have to be giving and we can't, you know, we think of others first and don't think about ourselves. And I think to a big degree that's certainly important. But I think what can happen is we do need time for ourselves to do things that we choose to do that's going to be something that's going to be meaningful for us, and not always doing things because somebody else wants them to, us to do them, whether it's spouse or family or friends or whatever. That we need to treat ourselves well, you know, not necessarily all the time. It doesn't have to be a selfish kind of sense, but it, you know, we need to sometimes take some time out to do something that we truly want to do, because then I think we're also better able to give back to others. You know, if you're always giving, I think it can be real difficult, and after a while you can resent that. And so that you need to think in terms of, it's okay to treat ourselves well, you know, and I don't know that, you know, it's always, well, you have to do these other obligations first, so you need to sometimes recognize that it's okay to take some time out, even a little bit of time out for ourselves. I'd like you to think just for a second on what some of the demands are that that you have for those of us maybe that are working here in terms of your jobs here, or if you're, you know, those of you that are our guests here, thinking in terms of what the demands are of your jobs at home. You know, what are some of the things that you have to do? What are some of the things that are obligations? What are some of the things that maybe some of the positive needs that are being met in your jobs? And I'd like you just to think about that for a second. You don't need to necessarily share those out loud, but just try to get an image of some of the things that that you're getting out of your jobs in terms of needs that are being met and some of the demands. If anybody'd like to share some of those kinds of things, maybe a couple of brief comments about some of the demands or needs that are being met in your job.
Self needs or needs of the people that you're...
Of yourself. What needs are you able to meet in your jobs? Does anybody have any...
One basic, I'm able to meet my financial needs.
Mm-hmm.
That's one basic need that I'm getting from it. A certain sense of accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
A certain sense of frustration.
Mm-hmm.
In today's economy, a certain sense of worry that I might not be the next one to be cut. You know, I don't know if that's what I'm supposed to be getting out of it, but that's what's coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me just read a list of some of the possible needs that you might have just in your lives, and you can think about whether some of these are met in your jobs, you know, and if they're needs that you have, if, you know, are they met in your jobs or are they being met elsewhere? A sense of accomplishment, to be comfortable, a chance to be creative, to be entertained, excitement, freedom, friendship, intellectual stimulation, intimacy, sensual pleasure, privacy, solitude, recognition, respect from others, rejuvenation, relaxation, rest, increased self-awareness, a chance to serve others, a sense of surprise, wonder, to develop talent, skill, tranquility, peace, variety, change, success, to be loved, to be needed, and there could be others, but those are some possible needs. And if you can think about, you know, some of the needs that you might have, and are, you know, how many of those are being met in your jobs? How many of you think that most of the needs that you have are being met in your jobs? Are there?
I'll raise my hand because I'm retired and I don't really have a job.
Okay. Well, are the needs that you have for yourself being met in other ways now that you're not, that since you're retired? You know, are there ways that that you're finding to meet those needs. Okay. I guess one of the things that I find that leisure and use of leisure time can be really important is in being able to meet needs that aren't met on my job. And I find that there's a lot of needs that I have that aren't met on my job. You know, one of my needs is to be in the outdoors, and my job is, you know, much more indoors. And so I find that in my free time, I'm going to seek out activities that I can do in the outdoor environment because of some of the benefits that I get from the outdoors. Maybe just to give you an example, too, of in the kind of work I do with people, I work with psychiatric patients, and sometimes there's not the immediate success that you know would always like to see, or you don't have as much control over the situation. And a year ago I took a class in furniture reupholstering and found it was just such a joy for me because I could just, you know, I had total control over what I was doing. I mean, granted I was learning, but it was like, the chair didn't talk back, and I could just work with it, and I could see directly the changes, you know, and I could have some impact, and I knew exactly what my impact was. And so that was something that, you know, was maybe a need that wasn't being met in work, or something that could add to my life by doing something that was very different. And that's one of the things in terms of recreation, that what is one person's work may well be somebody else's play. You know, it's not, there's no particular one activity that you can say it's recreation or it's recreative. It's how, you know, what we bring into the experience and what we get out of that experience. And when I was over at Stehekin and heard some foresters say something about, what do you mean, take a hike for fun? You know, and I mean, if you're walking all day, that's the last thing you're going to choose to do for fun. You know, you might do more reading, more quiet activities. I've heard people here, one person that worked in the laundry, who was relatively she was walking a lot during the day and being real physical, and one of her friends was cooped up and doing some more quiet activity, and her friend wanted to be going for hikes for fun, and the last thing that this other person wanted to do was walking. And so, you know, trying to find something that could be mutually satisfying to them. But so we look at things that are maybe going to be different than what we're doing in day-to-day kinds of things. My experience at Holden has been really recreative because I'm used to working with an older population and in a psychiatric unit, and working here with children, it's been that needed change of pace for me to work with a different kind of group and have a change of pace. So those are some kinds of things. I don't know, does anybody have any types of leisure activities that you're actively involved in any ways that you see meeting some needs that aren't met in your jobs? Anybody else have examples of things that you choose to do?
Along the same lines, people that sit at desks really like to, for an activity or recreation, tennis or handball or something like that,
mm-hmm.
some sort of physical exercise. It's mm-hmm. a real, real need.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on how many people you work with, maybe you're perhaps more secluded and don't meet the public, and you don't have that touch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes after being around people all day, it's kind of nice to go to home to a house where I'm on my own, you know, and not necessarily be mm-hmm. around with people, where somebody that's more solitary is going to be maybe wanting to have more people around them, you know, more frequently, perhaps. When you mentioned, like, some of the physical kinds of activities, that's another way that, for some stress relief, I can find that a lot of the physical activities, whether it's running or walking or some of the real vigorous sports, can help to work out some of those negative energies that we build up, hostilities and frustrations and stress, that just through the actual movement and exercise can work out an awful lot of frustration. I can remember playing a game of squash after just having a terrible headache, and I'm sure it was probably a stress-related headache. And after I played, I didn't have any headache because it just worked out all those tensions. And those are ways, too, that we can deal with some of the stresses, versus, you know, the choice of alcohol or drugs or other kinds of mechanisms that we can use. Some of the way we use our leisure time can help in doing relieving stress in everyday life. Any other examples anybody has in terms of things that or balancing off your own lives?
I swim laps, and I think I do it because I work with people a lot and sound a lot, and so that's a real quiet. Mm-hmm. And also a lot of the same things.
I'm a high energy person in my work, and so when I get a chance, I get my boat, go out in the middle of the lake and just shut it down, and there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a desk job, and like the gentleman said, I jog.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll jog 2 days a week right after work, about 3.5 miles, and that does take the frustrations of the job away from you, do that. And last year I even set a goal to run a marathon for the first and only time in my life. And I did do it, and after I got done, I got home, and it was just like a catharsis. I was so relaxed, I couldn't believe it. All of the stress and everything, it was completely non-existent. I was just, I wasn't tired. It was just really a different feeling.
That's neat.
So that did help a lot.
Yeah, I think some of the activities that we can choose to do in our leisure time also offer a lot of opportunities to learn about ourselves. You know, talking about setting a goal of something. You know, we can choose just to be relaxed and playful and not do anything, but we can also use it to have growing experiences. I've really enjoyed doing handwork and trying to be creative in some different ways, or just learning about your own limits. If you go on a backpacking trip and find that, you know, you can handle a certain environment and you're able to hike someplace, you know, that maybe you've never hiked before, and trying some new and different things can help in building our self-esteem and making us feel better about ourselves and the people that we're around. There are certainly various factors too that affect, you know, how we're going to spend our leisure time at any given point in time. And things that don't come to mind are, first of all, work. You know, what kinds of work schedules we have, and what kind of demands our work brings to our lives. Money can certainly affect whether it's good or bad, and depending on what your desires are. But money can certainly affect how you spend your leisure time. Our own abilities, the situation. I think the kind of family situations that people find themselves in. If you're single, married, have children, each of those different kinds of groupings are going to probably have different needs in leisure, and are going to maybe have different ways of using their leisure time. If as people add children to their lives, that's going to limit how easily you can pick up and go, you know, which will cause some adjustments, and maybe will need an adjustment in the kind of leisure activities that you seek out as a family. I'd like you to think about the role that leisure can play in terms of friendships. You think about a time when you've met new people or have developed friendships, and the context of where those friendships developed. Anybody share a time that they've developed new friends and
I met my wife in a camp like Holden.
Okay.
That began it all.
I guess I would have to say at work.
You've met most of your friends at work? Okay. When do you get a chance to develop the relationship at work, or is it outside of work that develops further?
I guess I think it develops to a point of having enough interest to carry it beyond work at work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so I would say the friendship probably developed at work. And
I guess I find a lot of times that to be able to share some of the kinds of experiences, I think a lot of leisure activities, I guess a lot of the way I spend my leisure is with somebody. I guess I tend to enjoy things generally more when I can share it with somebody else, whether it's a hike or whether it's enjoying seeing a play together with somebody so you can talk about it later, or you know, the shared experience. I find it can really help in terms of deepening a relationship, or just the kind of a lot of times the spontaneity that can happen in our free time. You know, I think in work, I've certainly met a lot of friends in work, but you still have a little different preoccupation, and if you're free to kind of do as you would like, you know, just the kind of fun things of initiating going out for an ice cream cone or taking a walk with somebody, those kinds of things. It doesn't have to be a big deal, that you can just go and enjoy something together with a friend. And I think there's a lot of opportunities for developing friendships there. There's a one form that I didn't run out copies for people, but it's called an analysis of obligated time. And if you can think about it in terms of the kinds of obligations you have, particularly when you're not here, because they're probably a little bit different here, and think about how much of your life is obligated to other people, because I think that has an impact on how much we're able to do on our own. Some of the kinds of things that are included here are clients, boss, peers, friends, relatives, spouse or lover, children, plants, animals, agencies, others. I don't know if you can image what your life is like out of here. What kinds of obligations do you see that playing a factor in your own lives when you're not here?
Definitely with children. I found that until almost bedtime, it's pretty much devoted to doing something,
mm-hmm.
whether it be playing cards or ball or something, and then reading a story. And then, let's say at 8:30, then it's kind of more free time.
Mm-hmm.
That's when mom and dad get to talk.
Mm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're lucky. Yeah, I think, you know, I just see families, the older the kids get, you know, how often, you know, lives are just wrapped up in just getting kids here and there, and that's a real impact on how much time people have, either for each other as spouses or for themselves, you know, if you're always chasing and doing other things.
I have obligations with my mother, who is 82,
mm-hmm.
and before she became needing help from me, I had my father and mother-in-law, and he mostly took up a lot of my time.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the other end of the spectrum,
end, yes.
where
mm-hmm.
other kind of family obligations.
I've had my dad, too, until he died.
Mm-hmm.
Also found that a lot of social and civic organizations, you really have to kind of pick and choose. And of course, the church, and then you almost have to kind of limit that, or you can spend so many nights of the evening at some sort of a meeting. It's just incredible how
mm-hmm.
much you can get involved in.
Mm-hmm. And that sort of thing, if we get too overstructured, it doesn't allow that kind of opportunity just for freedom and playfulness and just doing what you want. And I found that, well, it's really nice to have those times that you can just not have anything planned and you can just kind of go with whatever happens. If somebody happens to ask you to do something, or you can ask somebody else to do something, and just having that freedom, I think, is really important. And I don't know that we allow ourselves that opportunity. And I think sometimes too we end up working so hard at playing that, you know, I think some of us are guilty of that, of, you know, getting into so many things because we want to play and do a lot of different things, you know, and the kind of competitiveness too can come into play there, you know, that if getting really involved in a lot of competitive sports, then it becomes maybe not as much of a release, you know, because it can become a lot of work. Not that it won't be also rewarding and enjoyable, but it can become a lot of work. One of the things, just the opportunity for some relaxation and some quietness, that it plays a real important role in kind of creativity and problem solving, and looking at, you know, if you've ever been in a situation where you're just trying to figure something out, you know, it's whether it's how to put something together or something you're trying to learn to do, and you can just get so frustrated because you're so involved with something, and it's after you finally set it aside and, you know, just you're so frustrated with it, you leave it, and then pretty soon all of a sudden it kind of, aha, you know, those, you kind of figure out the answer when you're kind of in that quiet time, you know, and then you can kind of go back to what you were doing and go in with a fresh sense. And I think that's what I find in terms of taking some time out. Like for myself, coming to Holden has been a nice chance to get that time and just really see what that other life is like, and getting away from it so you can reflect and see more clearly those other things. And so we need to allow ourselves those kinds of times, quiet times, break times, where we can just not be just always, you know, overloading our senses in terms of what we need to do. There's a, in terms of looking at kind of a balance of leisure activities, there's a sheet that I came across quite a few years ago called Some Requirements of Life Before 60 to Survive, to Assure Survival After 60. And this is just kind of looking at various kinds of things to think about in terms of the things that you're involved with in your own lives. First of all, can you do nothing? That's something that, you know, it's maybe hard to do. Can you do nothing? Have you learned to loaf? Can you just sit alone and listen to the birds, listen to the rain? You can watch children, bugs, ants, traffic, or clouds. You know, can you just sit in and just be? This is a great environment to do that, you know, but there might be other places that you can do that. Do you have a hobby you enjoy? And this person says it must be a hobby that is never finished, although it may have completion aspects, but as a hobby that you can pick up and lay down on a personal whim. And these certainly aren't absolutes, but they're certainly something to think about in terms of areas that can add to your own lives. Do you have a group hobby interest? Something that you get together and do with a group of people, whether some possibilities might be things like square dancing, bridge, certain kinds of music, travel groups, other kinds of clubs where you share a similar interest. Do you have at least one lifetime sport? Which is something I think is really important, and it's nice to see some of the schools changing to teach some more lifetime sports versus just team sports. You know, I think it's served to emphasize team sports when so often after you're out of school, you're not going to be able to find a whole group of people to play football or baseball. I mean, you can have some chances, but it's nice to have some of the lifetime sports like walking, tennis, bowling, bicycling, swimming, dancing. Those are just some of them. Do you belong to an organization? Possibly civic organizations, PTA, service organizations. Are you a member of a social group? This includes your small circle of friends that like to play cards together, but it could include larger groups. Kind of, I think we all need a sense of belonging, and sometimes a certain kind of social group may offer that opportunity. Do you work for a church? The church offers opportunities for personal identification, a sense of belonging, and a sense of responsibility. Have you, within the past 3 years, undertaken a new interest, a chance to try something new and revitalize yourselves with new learning? Do you give of yourself? Do you support, with time or energy, some cause more important than yourself? Possibly Boy Scouts, YMCA, volunteering, that sort of thing. Those are just, you know, kind of a broad gamut. Any reaction to those? Are there areas that you, in your own lives, have involvements, things that you've been able to work into within your own time frame? Do those sound valid? Or do they sound kind of, yeah?
I guess the very first one, I take what I call my nothing days, which is strictly for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll unplug the phone or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just do what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's nice just to sit as a Elsa, and sometimes I sit and thinks, and sometimes it just sits. Any others of those that?
I think the lifetime sports is really essential,
mm-hmm.
whether it be even pool or swimming.
Mm-hmm. And walking, I mean.
Yeah.
How easy is it to take a walk? You know, I mean, certainly, you know, as maybe there could be limitations as people get older, you know, if you've broken hips or have arthritis and that sort of thing, you can become maybe a little bit more limited, but still walking is something that doesn't take any equipment, probably a good pair of shoes, and just a place to go, you know, which sidewalk, street, whatever. And that's one of the healthiest activities, a good brisk walk. You don't need to get into running and jogging to have some real positive benefits from that.
I think when you're retired, talking about retirement, some of you, most of you aren't, but you have to kind of plan your life a little bit,
mm-hmm.
Or try to develop something that involves some social activities with other groups, as you were saying. And
mm-hmm.
I know we have a couples club in church that we are particularly active with and enjoy. And in our particular situation, each one of us has our own little hobby that we do, and then we share some things together. And I think, just like you said there too, that you also need that time in which you can just sit.
Mm-hmm.
Or just, we feel we need time away from each other and time together.
Mm-hmm.
And even walking or golf now. We golf.
Mm-hmm. That's really
good. An ongoing thing.
I think it's a good point when we talk about in retirement of the need for planning. You know, I think that's often what I've seen as what can cause some of the problems of adjusting to retirement that some people are dealing with where they haven't thought and planned. You know, like a lot of our lives are pretty well structured by our work environment, you know, and there's a certain security in that structured daily routine. You know you're going to get up and you're going to go to work, and there's certain givens, and there's not a lot of free time. And after a person's retired, it takes a little more conscious planning to find some meaningful activities to work those things in. Otherwise, you know, pretty soon the people that we deal with in the hospital, ones that have become isolated because they haven't been able to exercise skills or maybe haven't developed the skills of dealing with that non-structured time and how to get out and meet people and be with people. You know, they maybe had all their social needs met in work and, you know, didn't have a lot of social needs outside of work, and all of a sudden that group is gone.
I think you have to be kind of careful too that you don't do just fun things for yourself, that you need to do things for others too. And like we have been involved in Meals on Wheels and things like that, where you are involved in helping others or doing something mm-hmm. for others, so that you're giving of yourself too. Otherwise mm-hmm. you can get pretty isolated in just your own little cubbyhole, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doing just what you want to do, and you can't live a life just like that either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think as you say, I've been retired 4 years, and which I've enjoyed every day of it. But I think when you work, at least I find, you know, when I was working, the discipline of my life was pretty well established by work mainly, but. When younger, by children and so forth. And then when you retire, I think you do have to establish some disciplines, or otherwise you just sort of go to pot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have to impose upon yourself some disciplines of living every day.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Because nobody else is going to create it for you. Any other reactions to some of those kinds of areas of leisure?
Well, I guess I was thinking of one other thing when you were talking earlier. I think of leisure time also as being an opportunity, and maybe this is more so because of retirement now, but I think of it as an opportunity to do some things that I have maybe never done and thought I would like to do,
mm-hmm.
and trying some of those things. I think those are real opportunities mm-hmm. for you, for your leisure time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you always wanted to paint, didn't know if you mm-hmm. could even, you know, hold a pencil. But it would be fun
mm-hmm.
to just try it.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I got into in 1973. Thought I'd try and see if I could paint, and I'm still doing it.
Mm-hmm. Great.
I have a group I belong to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we really contribute to ourselves and our own feelings of self-esteem by trying new things and reaching out and just learning, you know, learning about what you're able to do. And
it's an enrichment mm-hmm. type of thing for yourself.
Yeah, and you don't, you know, hopefully even have to wait till retirement.
No.
You know, that you can use that time while you're younger, but for sure, you know, when you have more time, that it's a good opportunity to think, yeah.
You can't always work it in when you're working.
It yeah, for
like
sure.
You're pretty busy with a lot of responsibilities.
Yeah, especially when you have family and mm-hmm. and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I was going to ask, where is the magical combination of how much time is leisure when you've got, you know, that's what I'm always trying mm-hmm. to find out, you know.
Yeah.
Is it 30 minutes a day, an hour a day, is it a Saturday,
you know. Probably.
I'm still trying to find out where it's at, you know, myself.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's a real good point, you know, I think in terms of, part of it is, I think, becoming aware of our own needs, you know, and those might change from time to time. You know, I mean, there might be some days when you put in a 12-hour day and you know, because of the nature of whatever your work is or whatever, and so maybe on one particular occasion you might not have as much time. You may need time, more time at another point. Maybe it's each day having at least a little bit of quiet time or setting aside even a brief amount of time to do something that you'd like to do. Part of it also gets into, I think, the way that we approach what we do. You know, I think we're talking about the sense of humor, playfulness. I think sometimes by approaching things that could be unpleasant tasks with maybe a little more of a sense of humor and a little bit of playfulness might help even those things that are obligations be a little more palatable and enjoyable. And one of the things I enjoy about working at Holden is that I think there's a sense in a lot of the areas of people incorporating humor just into dealing with each other in their jobs, and I think that can make things really more enjoyable, you know, by
how
keeping a sense of humor.
How would you go about cultivating a sense of humor?
Boy, that's a...
I feel mine's eroded away some instead of enhanced.
That's a good question, you know.
Sometimes I think it's just there's just so much pressure and everything that you can't really relax enough to sense the humor of some of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, I think sometimes you have to stand back and look at it and say, you know, is it really that important? You know,
yeah, taking things too seriously.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Even my four-year-old will say, you know, well, isn't that funny? Because I didn't laugh the first time. Or something. just not responding to it,
mm-hmm.
kind of.
But I think a person can get so engrossed in a job or work or something that they lose sight, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes somebody has to sort of grab hold of them and say, hey, you're taking things too seriously. Back off a bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes, too, in moving yourself to a different environment, something that you aren't so totally in touch with, all of a sudden you see so many different things that things become more humorous and then it's easier to carry them back.
Mm-hmm. Taking some of that time out and doing mm-hmm. something that you want to do so you get a chance. It's slowing down enough to be able to sense that.
Because each person is so different. I always remember I had a boss once. And he was president of a large company for 20 years. And I swear, there's nothing he liked better than the work, you know. And that was his leisure and everything else, his work. You know, we all said, hey, the guy's going to kill himself, you know, and he won't live long. So he outlived everybody else. Because he enjoyed, you know, that was his life. So, you know, everybody's different. And some people can relax with work and some can't.
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes through play and how we approach things can also help in terms of, and the sense of humor also helps in terms of flexibility and being able to cope better, you know, if we can try not to take ourselves so seriously. We can sometimes cope with those stressful situations that come into our lives, you know, and just realize sometimes you just have to kind of roll with the punches. And, you know, if we get our expectations too set on the way things are supposed to be, you know, that can be a real problem. We just kind of open ourselves up and say, well, you know, we maybe can't do something this way, but maybe we can do it another way. And
I think you hit something very important there that really rang a bell for me. Expectations. You get to want things more and more, better and better, forward and forward.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's helpful.
Yeah, we can set some high expectations for ourselves, and I think we give ourselves a lot of shoulds, you know, and that kind of gets in our way, and also that limits us from maybe utilizing our taking time out. Well, I should be doing this, you know. We all do that, you know. Well, you know, you could make your list. Well, these are all the things I should be doing. Sometimes you have to try to put those up.
That's a cop out, though, the should list.
Oh yeah.
You know, I'm real good at that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, boy, I should be doing this. I should be doing that. You know, or I shouldn't be here. I should be there. But I had a business associate ask me, I guess it was about 4 months ago, a question, and I'm still having trouble with it today. He says, "What do you do for fun?"
What did you tell him?
I told him, I said, I can't answer that. I really can't. And today I can't answer that. And I think that's, you know, and that bothers me a whole lot. You know, what do we do for fun? I do a lot of things. I'm real involved in Scouts. I'm real involved in my children. I'm real involved in church. And I guess in a way that's all fun, but maybe I had a different interpretation of fun at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's a whole lot of what we're trying to say here today. You know, what do we do with our leisure time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it fun, or is it something else?
Yeah, what is fun for you? You know,
yeah.
To me, what can be really fun is just sometimes laughing at doing something that is just totally crazy. Oh, the 4th of July here was great fun, you know, because it was just people really were, you know, pretty loose. You know, I mean, really got into some crazy costumes and all kinds of things, and just kind of, you know, letting yourself do something totally, totally different. Yeah, I think that's a good question. What do you do for fun? What is it that brings you?
I'm gonna answer it. I know. I just hope he's still around when I answer it.
And what you do for fun at different points may change. You know, something that's fun for you right now may not be later, and that sort of thing. One of the things that a quote that kind of hit me from one of Carol Kuehr's sessions on noisy contemplation. She was quoting Matthew Fox, and I'm going to read the quote and just kind of tell you some of my reactions. To pray is to fall ever more deeply in love with God. And after I'd heard that, I talked with Carol and I said, geez, in some ways I think I see what a lot of what recreation or the recreative experience and what we can do within our leisure if we're there's opportunities within our leisure experiences to fall more deeply in love with life. That it, by sometimes just taking time out to be in life. In fact, the theme of our national organization for the past couple of years has been life, be in it. You know, and to open ourselves into living and being and doing and the enjoyable kinds of things. And I think recreation and kind of a prayerful life can go closely together, and I see that what I do in my work is in some ways helping people to do that who have lost that sense of enjoyment. You know, people that are depressed, people that are having a hard time relating with people, and helping them to learn and relearn how to relate with each other and maybe falling more deeply in love with life. I don't know if anybody else has any reactions to that, but I think there's some opportunities if we take that and allow ourselves sometimes to do what we feel like doing, to kind of open up our minds to contemplate the world around us. I think that's one of the great benefits I see in an outdoor environment, at least for me, and it may be for others, that it allows you kind of a natural setting just to really enjoy the real world. Other comments on that, or how you use your leisure?
think I'd just like to make a comment on the fact that when I started to take time for myself, I really started to feel guilty mm-hmm. about it. And we were always kind of taught, you know, that
mm-hmm.
we don't do that. And when my kids got older, I didn't have the responsibility for them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just for myself. And then I was really feeling guilty about when I was just
mm-hmm.
to take care of myself.
Mm-hmm. That's not an uncommon. You know, I really try to, I know at the hospital try to do that just as well as in relating to people that it is important, and I'm not sure how to rid people of that guilt other than just assuring, people that, yes, it's okay, we do need time for ourselves. And I think there are a lot of cultural messages that we get that it's not okay to take time for ourselves. And it is important, and I think it does free us up to feel better later, if we can do something for ourselves that we enjoy, that it kind of enriches us to be able to go back into those other environments and do more for others.
The reading you mentioned, like reading Matthew Fox gets us in a tone which redirects some of these old cultural images. Matthew Fox, On Becoming a Musical Mystical mm-hmm. Bear, the one you're quoting mm-hmm. from, I love that. I think I've read it 3 times, just once after another. Or George Leonard and The Ultimate Athlete, which has that same spirit to it. Prayer and dance can be one and the same.
It's been helpful to examine what you do in your work and what needs mm-hmm. are not being fulfilled. I think that's kind of a
mm-hmm. yeah,
key thing that I've gotten here, that belief.
Yeah, I think if we, just try to be more in touch of what we need in our lives, for ourselves and from each other, in realizing that work can't possibly meet all of those. I just don't believe that it can meet all of those. It might be able to meet a lot of needs, but there are other needs in our lives that, particularly, if you think about somebody who's maybe front line on the assembly line in Detroit, is bound to have some needs that aren't going to be met, that routine kind of job, and are going to need to seek out opportunities outside. I think to have maybe a better quality of life, not that you can't exist, but I think that leisure and utilizing leisure can add a lot to the quality of our lives. And also just for our own mental health, that sometimes we do have needs that need to be met. And if they can't be met one place, we need to find another avenue for meeting those needs. And so, it's just hard to emphasize enough the importance of keeping a perspective of incorporating some leisure time, some opportunities for recreation, relooking at those things that we're about and that we need to rejuvenate ourselves in, and whether, in all realms, physically, spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, in all of those areas. We need to keep cultivating each of those areas.